What exactly is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. Currently, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. If you have one of those burning questions, one of those questions that keeps you up at night, you can send it to us. Send us an email, radio@faithalone.org, and we'll do our best to answer it. Well, let's jump right to today's discussion. It's going to be an interesting one. This is Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar with Grace in Focus.
Well, I'm so glad that you're listening to Grace in Focus. I really appreciate the people who listen to our podcast or our radio show every single day. It's very encouraging for
us. It is.
When we first started this, we didn't even really want to do it. A preacher friend of ours suggested that we go into radio.
Yeah.
And so we just started as small
as we could. But initially we thought we were going to be on five stations or something, and I think we put it on our website thinking, well, maybe somebody would listen to
someone
it there.
Someone will listen.
And it turns out thousands of people listen to it via either Stitcher or what is it, iTunes or... What's that other platform, something about?
Yeah, iTunes, Stitcher, and now Spotify, and a bunch of online internet stations. Anyways.
And people can just go to our website, faithalone.org.
You know, it kind of excites me. I like doing this because we like talking. I mean, we're talking all the time in the office.
Might as well record it.
Might as well record it.
Somebody else can hear this.
You know, some people say that's what they like about it. We're not exactly polished speakers,
no.
But we're just talking about these things and debating them a little bit, and people need to hear that. You know,
I think so.
We're not really authoritarian.
No, the authority is the Bible.
Right.
We're trying our best to communicate what the Bible says, and at points we say, now the scriptures aren't crystal clear on this, but, and we give that point.
Right.
So, yes, the Bible is the authority. We encourage people to listen to our podcast, our radio, etc., but be Bereans. Search the scriptures. See if the things we're saying are so.
Right. Well, here's a question from Brenda. Brenda's in a lot of spiritual angst, you might say. So it's kind of a long story. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read. The gist of it is she was once married to a Muslim. She was some type of Christian at the time. And as their marriage was ending, she said, I wanted to save it, so I switched to the Muslim religion. I really didn't practice it or anything. The man told me what to say in Arabic, and I said it, and then he said that I was a Muslim. Unfortunately, my marriage ended anyways. I think the only requirement to be a Muslim is to say something like, there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. I think that's, if you say that confession, you're considered a Muslim, I think. So maybe that's what she did. She says, my marriage ended anyways. I went back to church and on September 16th, 2001, I gave my life to God and was baptized. But then she was listening more recently to a preacher who said, that I guess in the end times, people, there'll be forced conversions to Islam, maybe. And if you do that, that's considered sinning, a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, or sinning against the Holy Spirit, and you'll go to hell. And basically, she's asking, does that mean that I sinned against the Holy Spirit and can never go to heaven? That's basically her question, when she made that conversion during her marriage.
Well, there's a lot of confusion in this short email. No, converting to Islam, whether because you believe it or simply to try to save your marriage, is not some unpardonable sin. And we've done other shows about that.
There's a couple issues here. And what I like about her story, what I find useful, is that we say that there's no guarantee that you're going to keep on believing in Jesus for eternal life.
Right.
The moment you believe in him for eternal life, you have it and you can never, ever, ever lose it. And it's possible, we say, that you could stop believing sometime in the future. I think this is kind of an example of that. Like, here's a woman who, because of her marriage, she switches to Islam. Now, I don't know if she was a believer beforehand, the way we would identify a believer, but here's an example of the type of pressure that might cause you to fall away.
Right. Now, another part of this is disturbing is, what did she say in 2001? She gave her life to God and was baptized?
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about that because it seems to me that's what Brenda thinks is maybe the condition of salvation, giving your life to God and getting baptized. And that's a misconception that needs to be cleared up.
Absolutely. I mean, if she's never believed, she has everlasting life that can't be lost, or the equivalent, justification or a relationship with God that can't be lost or guaranteed heaven, simply by faith in Jesus, then she's not yet been born again. Now, hopefully Brenda has been born again, is just confused.
But right.
She's not giving indication of that in this letter. In fact, when she says, I gave my life to God, she's not even mentioning the right person of the Trinity. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not by giving our life to Jesus, it's by believing in him.
Now, all believers should give our lives to God in the sense of being obedient and living as disciples.
Sure.
But that's not the point of salvation.
Right. That's mixing justification and sanctification. That's mixing faith and works. What I would say is, yes, she's going through doubts, and it's reasonable for her to go through doubts because, at least right now, she doesn't believe the simple promise of John 3:16. So I would encourage Brenda to pray about this, to ask God to show her the truth, and God wants to do that. And then secondly, get a Bible and read the Gospel of John. Take however long you need. Read a chapter a day, read 10 verses a day, however much you want to read, and ask God to show you, can I be sure? And God will answer that prayer if you diligently seek him in his word.
Now, part of her question is, what is this blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, sin against the Holy Spirit that she heard about from another radio preacher? What would you say that is?
Well, basically, I would say it's lifelong rejection of Christ.
Okay.
And it's attributing the works of Christ to the works of the devil. In other words, it's saying that what Jesus did was not from God when he raised the dead and cast out demons and healed the sick. That was all works of Satan. But it's not just saying that one time. It's continuing that to the grave. In other words, I'm continuously rejecting Christ.
So what's the consequence of that?
Well, it would be the person would ultimately not be forgiven, not because there's some sin that can't be forgiven, but because the person is rejecting the one who gives the forgiveness, the Lord Jesus Christ, their whole life. In other words, they never come to faith. They just go that way.
What if someone comes to faith and then, like Brenda, for some reason, they commit?
Well, then they can't commit that because they can't reject Christ. Once they have everlasting life.
Well, let's say you're an apostate and now you're saying, no, Jesus, I was wrong. Jesus,
right.
He's from Satan and he's done all this. This is evil.
All right. Well, when I say reject Christ, I mean never believe in him. So that once a person believes in him, they forever fall in the category of a believer, even when they're an apostate, which, as you know, a lot of people have a problem with. I just read a book by Piccirilli, this Reformed Arminian.
Yeah.
He basically says that Calvinists and Arminians both agree that apostasy means a person is not going to get into Christ's kingdom.
Mm.
And so they see apostasy as the ultimate falling away.
Okay.
And evidently irreversible. But we don't see it that way. The Bible teaches that it's possible for a Christian to fail even to the point of falling away from the faith.
That's right. I think that's a good segue into this next email. This is from Miranda. Miranda asks, how does once saved, always saved theology relate to the grace alone message? Many people say both leave leeway for rampant sin. So how does once saved, always saved relate to the grace alone message?
Well, this is an interesting question because it's possible to believe in once saved, always saved, and yet not really believe in once saved, always saved. There are some people who, like many Calvinists, will say eternal security is true. Once saved, always saved is true, but it's only true of those who persevere to the end of their lives
right.
in faith and good works. And we don't know who that is.
Right.
So therefore, if you fall away, you're not going to make it.
Right.
And that's not really once saved, always saved. So once saved, always saved is the idea that once I believe in Christ for my eternal destiny, then I am secure, I'm saved forever.
Right.
Even if I later fall away, there's nothing that can stop that. So in that sense, once saved, always saved is the free grace message.
Yeah. What do you think of this? I'd put it this way. So the grace message is that works are excluded from the condition of salvation.
Right.
It's by faith alone.
Right.
Now, if you reject once saved, always saved, if you think salvation can be lost, it's usually because you think that if you do something bad or either you fail to do something or you do something really, really bad, you will lose your salvation. In other words, you think that ultimately works are a part of either keeping your salvation or having it at all.
Right.
And so if you reject works as a condition of salvation, if you say it really is by faith apart from works, then I think you're more apt to believe in once saved, always saved, because there's nothing you could do. There's nothing you can do to earn it, and there's nothing you can do to lose it.
Right, but let's look at the second part of the question, which is, doesn't that open the door to rampant sin? And the answer is, yes, the grace of God allows for the possibility that people will abuse it. Now, Paul answers this question in Romans 6:1, Romans 6:14, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Meganoita, may it never be.
Yeah.
That never should happen, but it could happen. That's why Paul's raising the question.
Well, I would just say, guess what? There's going to be rampant sin either way. If you have work salvation religions, guess what? There's
right.
rampant sin there.
That's right.
If you have grace religion, there's rampant sin there. Why? Because we're sinners. Because we have this old nature.
Well, it also depends on what you mean by rampant sin. If we're sinning once an hour or once every 2 hours, isn't that rampant sin?
Right.
Now, somebody else may be sinning every 7 seconds.
Right.
You know, they're constantly saying things they shouldn't say, doing things they shouldn't do, thinking things they shouldn't think, whatever. I guess you would say, you know, if a person sins every hour or every few hours, that's rampant sin. But I think what this person means is somebody who's out there and they're a druggie or they're a drug dealer or they're involved in constant immorality, they're involved in theft, lying, cheating, whatever. And this is what characterizes their life. But you make a good point. Even the holiest of people on earth sins and sins repeatedly.
Well, Miranda, to answer your question, I think the grace of God should be a motivation for people to holiness, to gratitude, to serving the Lord. If someone uses it as an excuse for sin, well, people use everything as an excuse for sin. And so in that sense, I guess grace can be abused. But if grace is properly understood, it is a motivation for greater discipleship and greater service for Christ. Thank you for your question, and keep on sending them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the saving message in Mormonism. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus. Thank you.